Hello, everybody. It is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, and welcome to our program for this Thursday, June the 6th, 2013. This is the 69th anniversary of the Allied invasion of Europe at Normandy in France. Our hats off to America's greatest generation. That day, 69 years ago. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday, noon to 1. We are here on AM 1030 KVOI. We call it Tucson's intelligent voice. And one thing we know for sure, of the three talk stations in town, we have the biggest reach as far as a powerful news station, all the way up to Phoenix. We go all the way almost to New Mexico to the east and then points west and south. We are live with the Buckmaster Show, and we stream it at kvoi.com, and of course on our website buckmastershow.com. We also podcast the program. We make it very easy for you to hear this program anytime, anywhere. Again, you visit buckmastershow.com. The show is also posted to two other websites, TucsonCitizen.com, that is the Gannett Corporation-owned website, and then the independent online news service, TucsonSentinel.com, has our show as well. And we're on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun at GVNews.com, and on the homepage of BlogForArizona.com. So, bottom line is, we have you covered. On today's show, one of the nation's leading experts on climate change will join us. We'll be discussing the prospect of hotter, longer summers. And for many of us who think summer is already too long, that is not a pretty picture to think about. 30 minutes past the hour, our CEO interview series presented by Trio. Today, we'll be spotlighting Bruce Wright. Mr. Wright heads up the University Research Parks at the University of Arizona. Then we'll close out the show with the Buckmaster Show legal contributor Don Luce. Mr. Luce, one of really two dozen or so people who contribute regularly to this program. We're very proud of our contributor list and all of the contributors, and a brief bio about them, again, at buckmastershow.com. If you have a question or comment today, I'm sure some of you will want to talk about whether or not you believe climate change is for real. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can also post a question or comment to our Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster. Well, if you like long, hot summers with the prospect of even more 100-degree-plus days, you'll like climate change Arizona style. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Greg Garfin. Dr. Garfin, a professor at the University of Arizona, he's the lead author of the Assessment of Climate Change in the Southwest United States. Dr. Garfin, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about the report and what were some of the bullet points that we should know about.
Yeah, so the report is a technical contribution to the National Climate Assessment, which is something that's mandated by Congress. Report to Congress, the President, and the citizens of the nation every 4 years. And a group of institutions in the Southwest from California, Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, and New Mexico put together a proposal to provide this comprehensive technical input. We cover climate change and its impacts in the region pretty much from soup to nuts, everything from climate, water resources, ecosystems, impacts on agriculture, transportation, cities, energy sector, tribes, and also a section on, I guess, what we would call solutions, reducing greenhouse gases and also adapting, plans for adapting to change.
Well, let's talk about regional temperatures over the past decade. They have increased, haven't they?
Yes, they have. They've increased regionally, averaging over that six-state region from California straight across to Colorado and New Mexico, by about 2 degrees Fahrenheit in the last 110 years.
Well, that's may not 2 degrees may not seem like much, but it is when you're talking about summertime here, right?
Well, yeah, summertime actually the increase is even higher. But let's just take Tucson for example. The current difference in average annual temperature, so we're talking about annual temperature, between Tucson and Phoenix is about 5 degrees, and between Tucson and Yuma, it's 6 degrees. So you can imagine that 2 degrees is getting us a third of the way to being like Yuma, and that's spread out across the region. Of course, there'll be some places that have warmed more than that, and others that haven't.
I think the thing that made the news, and I know you had an op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star, and the thing that jumps out at you is this prospect of even more 100-plus degree days. What are we talking about and when?
Yeah, so this was a study that some researchers at the University of Arizona did for the city of Tucson, and this is, I was involved in leading this work, and we looked at climate model projections specifically for the footprint of the city, and we looked at the time periods 1971 to 2000 as a kind of a baseline, and then 2041 to 2070 for the future period, basically mid-century. And we were particularly interested in looking at extremes, and we spent a bit of time interviewing and surveying city and county employees to find out what were the extremes that they were particularly interested in their work, thresholds that were important to them. And this 100 and 110 degree days turned out to be significant both to folks who are managing things like public health and extreme heat, transportation, but also
Tucson water. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Tucson important. Demand, yeah. Water
critical,
demand,
yeah,
sure.
Right.
And also to wildlife managers and others. So one of the ways that we broke down the data was to look at how those numbers of 100 degree and 110 degree days would shift. And approximately we get on the order of a month more 100 degree days and about 3.5 weeks more 110 degree days by the mid-century. And this is based on an assumption that we're going to continue globally emitting greenhouse gases on the trajectory that we're on right now.
Why does Tucson and southern Arizona, it seems like we're kind of on the front lines of this climate change, where some places in the United States probably won't notice that big a change in that same time period you were talking about the middle of this century. They wouldn't see that kind of extreme. Why here?
Yeah, so there are a couple of reasons for that. One of them is that we don't have a substantial amount of forested or agriculture area that might help mediate some of those effects. Another is that as the atmosphere heats up, it actually has changed and will continue to change the atmospheric circulation such that the jet stream, we've already witness the jet stream in the northern hemisphere migrate several degrees to the north. And as the atmosphere warms up, we expect that the jet stream will continue to migrate further to the north, and that the outflow from the tropics, which is very moist in the tropics, but when it gets to our region, it's a drying outflow. So basically, we're anticipating things like a more northern jet stream means that we're going to get less moisture in the winter and springtime. And then this dry outflow from the tropics will, because we're an inland location, that's kind of sets us up for building up more heat.
Well, the implications are very serious for this. Your water is going to be a critical issue, isn't it?
Yeah, undoubtedly.
I mean, the snowpack is, if we're getting less moisture, that's less snow in the winter, and that's less snow melt. So perhaps summer is going to start earlier. The whole thing of the monsoon, that will be a wild card. How is that going to be affected by more dramatic temperatures?
Well, the monsoon, as you mentioned, is a wild card. The current generation of climate models, the majority of them really don't get the North American monsoon particularly well. It's even hard to forecast the seasonal forecast for the monsoon. So that's a bit of a question mark, and it's an area where I wouldn't make any bets on the future monsoon precip as to whether it'll go up or down, and we can hope that the next generation of models will do it better.
Dr. Greg Garfin is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He's assistant professor and assistant extension specialist in climate science, policy, and natural resources, School of Natural Resources and the Environment at the U of A. He's deputy director of science translation and outreach for the Institute of the Environment, also based at the U of A. And we're talking about the climate assessments and a prospect of longer, hotter summers here in Tucson, Arizona. We're going to continue. If you have a comment about climate change, do you think it's for real? 790-2040, 790-2040, as we continue on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at WestinLaPalomaResort.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and we're talking about long, hot summers and the prospect they're going to get even hotter. In fact, how would you like another month tacked on of 100-degree-plus days? Well, I particularly wouldn't like it. Dr. Greg Garfin is with us, professor at the University of Arizona, lead author of the Assessment of Climate Change in the Southwest United States. We've been talking about warmer temperatures, certainly in our area, and all of the implications with drought and water shortages. But let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Danny joins us at 790-2040. Danny, go ahead. You're with Dr. Garfin.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
It's my understanding that maybe 7 or 8 years ago at the Biosphere, they were doing some research on how different percentages of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, how it affected the growth of plants. In other words, I think they were trying to understand that how much does nature compensate if there's more carbon dioxide in the air. Am I right? Were they doing experiments? If they did, are they still doing it? And what is there any data on how the amount of carbon dioxide affects the growth of plants?
A pretty good question there, Danny. Thank you. Go ahead, Dr. Garfin.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Danny. I don't know that they were doing that specifically at the Biosphere, but there's been a series of projects around the country in many places. Earlier in the 2000s, the late 1990s, there was a series of projects called the FACE Project, and one of them was done up in Maricopa County. And basically what they did was they pumped elevated levels of carbon dioxide into plants that were growing in the free atmosphere, and they looked at what the growth response was. And carbon dioxide, to a certain point, it enhances plant growth. It helps plants with their water use efficiency, and it enhances their growth. But if you accompany that with increasing temperatures, at a certain point, it's a losing battle for the plants, and they start shutting down and not growing as well or as rapidly.
So initially you could get some plant growth spurts, but then you're going the hotter temperatures would take away some of those benefits right away.
That's right.
Greg Garfin is with us. Dr. Garfin, we're talking about these prospects that we face here in southern Arizona, and you know, it really will impact our lifestyle if nothing changes, because you certainly would be talking about higher utility bills. It goes on and on how the customer is going to, consumer will be affected by this.
Yeah, sure. You know, there are many ways that having more extreme heat here would affect us. One of them is that, of course, in the summertime, we'd have greater demand for air conditioning. So, you know, we'll have greater demand for energy. It takes water to produce energy, and so that'll mean greater water use. Also, having more extreme heat for anybody who works outdoors, that's probably going to affect the number of days or the number of hours a day that you can work outdoors. It's also a risk for at-risk populations, the elderly, the very young, anybody who's particularly exposed to extreme heat. And then there are also all sorts of other effects to wildlife, the fire season, And things like that.
You know, we're already seeing these huge kind of mega fires, and we've talked with Dr. Swetnam at the Tree Ring Laboratory at the University of Arizona extensively about this, and he has found in his research, Dr. Garfin, as you know, that these fires are bigger, they burn hotter, and it goes on and on. So the hot temperatures certainly don't help.
Yeah, and well, another indirect effect, but probably the most important effect of increased temperatures is that it affects the snowpack. The snowpack is the key to our water supply here in the Southwest, but it's also an important ground cover in the wintertime. So we have this effect that we call the early spring. We've got a longer season for those fuels to dry out, and that would create just a longer fire risk season.
Well, we've got a full board in only 5 minutes, so let's see if we can quickly get through these questions that folks want to talk with Dr. Garfin about. Rose, can we put up Steve? Steve will be with us. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Doctor. Hey, I was wondering, why did they change the name a few years ago from to climate change from global warming? And also, you were just talking about the hotter fires. The analysis of the air with all the aluminum in it that lands on the trees, maybe you could address that in terms of why the fires are burning hotter, too, and what you think about geoengineering. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Quickly, Dr. Garfin, as far as the name change...
Yeah, actually, I don't know that there's been a name change. I mean, global warming, I think people were finding that it confuses people because they think that it's some abstract thing, just a global temperature. But that's one of the many measures of a changing climate.
And as far as the aluminum making...
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about aluminum and enhancing fires or the heat of fires. In terms of geoengineering, I think, you know, we've got to keep all the options open, and we have to do very careful research into that. I personally, wouldn't want to, just go full bore into that sort of thing, again, without some careful pilot studies.
All right, let's see if we can... first of all, here's a caller who did not want to go on the air, and I'm going to take this before I go to Josh, who wants to talk about the heat island effect. Dr. Garfin, how do you respond to the people who don't believe in global warming? And the polls do suggest that the latest poll I've seen is that 3 out of 4 people do believe that global temperatures are slowly increasing. There is certainly still some open area for discussion about why they're increasing, but how do you respond to people who do not believe in global warming?
Well, I would encourage them to look at the evidence. We have many lines of evidence first of all, there's lots of evidence that temperature is increasing and about the rate of the increase. I think a separate issue is the attribution of that to human causes and to especially our emission of heat-trapping gases. We have many lines of evidence in terms of that. One of them is that for more than 150 years, we've known the effect of those heat-trapping or greenhouse gases.
Okay. You want to finish your thought there real quickly? Yeah, Before we go to Josh, he wants to talk about heat islands.
Yeah, and then there are other lines of evidence from both models from paleoclimate studies and other lines of evidence.
So you say the evidence is clear, bottom line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Josh, you are up quickly. Heat island effect, it's a good question, good comment, because that certainly is important. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, especially with the boom in the Southwest population, how much of the temperature we're seeing now is because we've paved everything? Mm-hmm.
Yes, thanks, Josh. That's a great question. The heat island effect's been known, we've known about that for more than 70 years, and that's just, as you mentioned, it's characteristic of growing urban areas. We replace natural surfaces with surfaces that absorb a lot of heat and release it slowly overnight so that the minimum temperatures increase. The regional temperature increase is not influenced a whole lot by the urban heat island effect. But for cities, it's important. It's at least as important as those regional temperature changes. In Tucson, the rate of increase is about 7/10 of a degree every decade. So just the heat island effect alone, if population increases as we anticipate, will mean another 7 degrees Fahrenheit of temperature increase in our metro area.
Dr. Garfin, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
If you're looking for a cool getaway, may I suggest Silver City? It's 15 degrees cooler over in Silver City, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson and that part of New Mexico. A beautiful getaway. Since we've been talking about climate, our thanks to Silver City and Grant County for sponsoring this portion of the Buckmaster Show. Experience the Gila, the nation's first wilderness. More information is available at southwestnewmexico.org. A full listing of great places to stay, including Casitas de Gila guest houses. We will be back right after this. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Obama administration, as well as some top members of Congress, are defending the government's practice of collecting the phone records of millions of U.S. customers of Verizon. President Obama is visiting a middle school in North Carolina today. He's calling for federal regulators to help turn the nation's classrooms into digital learning centers. Attorneys for George Zimmerman have been turned down by a Florida judge. They requested that a handful of witnesses be allowed to testify out of the public eye when Zimmerman is tried in the fatal shooting of Trayvon Martin. For the first time since 1982, a Republican will be representing New Jersey in the U.S. Senate. Governor Christie today named State Attorney General Jeffrey Chiesa to temporarily fill the seat opened up with the death of Frank Lautenberg this week. More details at RNNews.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're?
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're?
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. It is time for our CEO interview series presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated. TRIO offering a comprehensive approach of programs and services to facilitate the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increased business creation and entrepreneurship throughout the region. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated nearly 70 project successes in Southern Arizona, representing 10,300 direct jobs and an overall economic impact of $4.3 billion. More information available at TRIO, that's TREOAZ.org. And joining me on the Buckmaster Show live line, Bruce Wright. Mr. Wright, Associate Vice President for University Research Parks at the University of Arizona, and he is also the founder and president of the Arizona Center for Innovation. He's a past president of the Association of University Research Parks. Bruce is a member of the TRIO Board of Directors and serves on the Board of Directors of the Arizona-Mexico Commission and is a member of the Governor's Canamex Trade Corridor Task Force, and he's also a member of the DM50 and the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Hey, Bruce, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Bill. Doing great.
I want to talk a little bit about what's been going on at the UA Tech Park, and one of the areas that has jumped out at a lot of folks is all the work that's being done in border technology and security. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a really growing industry base here in Southern Arizona. It grows out of really two things: the need to facilitate legitimate trade and commerce across our border with Mexico, and at the same time to deal with the issues of border security, terrorism, and illegal activity. And so there are a group of companies along with the university focused on how do we take technology and apply it to these problems and address both the need and the opportunity that grows out of them.
How does it work? What kind of things are they looking at, Bruce?
Well, a couple of different manifestations of it. First of all, for example, Nogales and Tucson are a major port of entry for the importation of fresh Mexican produce into the United States during the winter time. There's a need to be able to take those cargo shipments from southern Sonora, bring them up through Sonora into Tucson and Nogales and distribute them across the country. And, of course, if you can maintain the security of those cargo shipments when they get to the port of entry, you can move them through quickly and participate in the trade process. So the application of technology to maintaining the security and the integrity of those cargo shipments is one thing we're looking at. Another area, obviously, is we have a lot of family and business ties between Southern Arizona and Northern Mexico. The ability for people who legitimately need to move across the border to move back and forth and do it quickly is another area that we're trying to promote, and also, again, to use technology to assist in that process. And then finally, obviously, is to try to find technology that can help in the detection, the surveillance, the interdiction of improper or illegal activity across the border.
So the U of A is very much involved in this, and I guess the economic impact at this point, you're kind of in the beginning stages, but what do you estimate that this could be worth to the area?
Well, the market is actually huge. It's been identified that in 2012, the market for border security-related technology was about $20 billion worldwide and growing. And if you think about it, you know, many, many countries have borders with other countries, and they need to be able to control and maintain the integrity of those borders. But the technology also has application in protecting vital utilities, utility plants, airports, you know, just about anything you can think of would need to, in this day and age of terrorism, to have ability to maintain security. So the market is almost unlimited.
You have been at the U of A Science and Tech Park really since its inception. How has it grown? Give us kind of an overview for folks who don't know. It's out on Reeder Road. And tell us, give us the big picture out there, Bruce.
Well, the park is all about trying to help take new technology and move it through the development process eventually to the marketplace. And that can be technology that's coming out of university laboratories or industry laboratories or even out of the garage of a community inventor. The park started out with really two companies on site. We have about 1,300 acres and 2 million square feet of space under roof. Today we have 53 technology companies on site, about 7,000 employees, and we're putting about $2.5 billion into the local economy. So it's grown to be a very, very big enterprise. And the thing that's probably been most exciting the last couple years is that we've really positioned the park to be a major place to do the testing, evaluation, and demonstration of new technology, border technology being one of those, solar energy being another.
And the Center for Innovation plays into that as well.
It does. The Arizona Center for Innovation is a technology business incubator, so what we're trying to do is help inventors, entrepreneurs start new companies up using sort of the state-of-art technology. Our primary purpose is to assist the university, its faculty and students in taking that new technology into companies and into the marketplace, but we also work with a lot of community entrepreneurs and inventors. And to date, we've incubated about 80 companies. About half of those have been university-based companies, either started by faculty, students, or using university technology.
Bruce Wright is with us on our CEO interview series presented by TRIO. Bruce is Associate Vice President for University Research Parks at the University of Arizona. And as I recall, Bruce Wright, I think the park has been named one of the best research parks in the country, hasn't it?
Yeah, there are about 175 university research parks, and we are one of 19 that have been identified as, you know, top parks in the nation. And I think generally we're regarded among one of the top 10 research parks in the U.S.
Another item you have in your portfolio, and folks may have read about the UA Bioscience Park. Can you kind of give us a brief overview on that and where that stands right now?
Sure. Beginning about 5 or 6 years ago, we decided that we would initiate a second research park closer to the main campus of the university. It's located just off Interstate 10 along Keno Parkway at 36th Street. And we secured 65 acres of land, and with the assistance of a federal grant, we've been able to put in all the infrastructure to support that site. So it's fully development ready. The idea is that it will promote technology development, particularly in the area of healthcare and bio and life sciences technology, biotechnology. We're just getting ready to start to really aggressively recruit companies into that park now that it's fully up and running. It's part of a larger mixed-use development called The Bridges that includes a significant amount of retail and residential development, and people may be aware of the new Costco and Walmart, which have been developed as part of that project along I-10.
So the infrastructure is really there now, correct?
Yeah, we just literally finished it just about 6 months ago, and so it's all the sites, all the parcels are development ready, and we've started entertaining conversations with technology companies that would like to come into that location, and we're particularly focused on companies that want to have a working relationship with the university, either in our research enterprise or creating employment opportunities for our students.
How has the research park industry weathered this downturn, and hopefully we're starting to come out of it? Overall, how's it been?
Generally, the parks have actually outperformed the traditional commercial research and industrial space. We certainly have, that's been the case here with the tech park. During the height of the recession, we were at about 3% vacancy in a market that was close to 20% vacant. We did see a significant drop in the employment of some of our companies. We went from about 7,000 employees down to about 6,000, but we've regained all that employment in the last year and a half. So the park is doing very, very well. In fact, the challenge for us right now is the ability to expand space to accommodate new companies wanting to come into the park.
And people talk about being a low-wage town, but out at the park, your wages are pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, they're about twice the Pima County average. The nature of high-technology jobs is that they tend to be clean, high-paying jobs. And that's one of the goals of the university with the park, is to create employment opportunities for our graduates and try to keep the best and brightest here in Tucson to help grow the local economy. So these are really good jobs that we're providing through the companies that are located at the Tech Park.
What's the best place to find out more information about the UA Tech Park?
I go to our webpage, which is uatechpark.org. And you can access information about the Tech Park there. Or you can contact the Office of University Research Parks at 621-4930.
Bruce Wright, always a pleasure. Thank you. It's good to talk with you again.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. That's Bruce Wright. Bruce is the Associate Vice President for University Research Parks at the University of Arizona. He's also the founder and president of Arizona Center for Innovation. His interview today, part of our CEO interview series presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated. For more information about TRIO, visit trioaz.org.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on our Thursday edition. It's always a pleasure and an honor to have in studio with me Attorney Don Luce, Mr. Luce of Luce Brown and Associates. That organization, that law firm, has offices here in Tucson and in Phoenix. Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Great to be back.
Well, we're going to begin with DUI, and speaking of your book, Arizona Laws 101, when it comes to DUI laws, there's always changes.
Always. And the most recent change involved a Supreme Court decision that came out last week. The Arizona Supreme Court made it clear that merely possessing a driver's license in Arizona doesn't mean that you can be forced to give blood for a test absent your consent. The case was decided by the Arizona Supreme Court involving a minor whose blood was drawn and then tested, and the test showed that he had consumed alcohol, and so the state prosecuted him based on those blood results, and the Arizona Supreme Court said, no, we've got two problems with this. Number one, it wasn't clear that his consent was entirely voluntary because he had been placed under arrest before he gave it. And number two, he was 16 years old, and it wasn't clear that absent parental consent, the consent to search without a warrant was valid. So they said, nope, we're going to suppress the evidence, and we're not going to allow the results of that blood test to be used in connection with those charges. Now, he has some other problems. I think he was in possession of marijuana and some other stuff. But at least on this point, it's now clear that in Arizona, merely because you have a driver's license doesn't mean that absent a search warrant, law enforcement can draw blood for purposes of determining the DUI.
It's an interesting case, and it does stem from an assertion that originated with the Pima County Attorney's Office that, in effect, when you go to get a driver's license, you give Don Luce something called implied consent.
Right. The concept is that driving is a privilege, it's not a right. And so the trade-off is when the state gives you a license to drive, you give consent for them to take blood, urine, or breath for purposes of testing for alcohol. Now, here's sort of the footnote to this story. If you refuse, mm-hmm. which you have the right to do, mm-hmm. Then you're going to lose your driver's license. The first time, it'll be suspended for 12 months, and if it happens twice within an 84-month period, then it'll be suspended for 2 years. So there are consequences for not consenting, but the court has now made it clear that absent a clear and voluntary consent by the driver, the state has to obtain a search warrant before it can draw blood to test for alcohol.
Well, these implied consent rulings, they really vary, too, from, I would assume, from state to state. That's why you kind of tried to lay it out in your book. I think you've got it highly placed, Chapter 2, right?
Chapter 2 is implied consent. A lot of people don't realize that driving is a privilege, and there is no right to a driver's license. So there are some obligations that go with getting a license to drive, and this is one of them.
But again, if you refuse to be tested, if then you say you are, they ask you, do you, you know, you have this right to refuse.
You do. You can say no. You can say, I do not consent to you withdrawing blood for purposes of testing it for drugs or alcohol. Okay. So at that juncture, what's going to happen is the officer is going to advise you that if you don't give consent, then your driver's license will be suspended for at least 12 months. You can say that, well, that's fine. I'm not going to give you consent. Now, at that juncture, the officer may well obtain a search warrant if the officer has reasonable grounds to believe that you're under the influence of alcohol. And at that point, blood can be drawn without your consent, but it can't be drawn without a search warrant.
Don Luce is with us. This is our monthly segment with Don Luce where we talk about the law. And there's never a shortage of material with Don Luce because there's always a lot of legal implications. And pick up the paper almost any day or listen to the news or watch the news, and there's always some kind of a legal issue at stake, it seems like. And the issue of the day today, Don Luce, is marijuana. Arizona's 2010 Medical Marijuana Act will not apparently go before the voters for another test in the upcoming elections.
That's right, Bill. And this is an issue that keeps recurring in one form or another. Now, the latest incarnation has to do with a proposal at the legislature to put on next year's ballot proposal to rescind the 2010 Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. Your listeners will recall that in 2010, by the slimmest of margins, less than 0.5%, the voters in Arizona approved medical marijuana. It's taken years for that act to actually be implemented. There were a series of court challenges and other problems associated with the implementation, but finally, it's here. There are something like 38,000 medical marijuana cardholders in Arizona, and there are over 100 dispensaries that are either licensed and operational or licensed and in the process of becoming operational. So we have medical marijuana. State Representative John Kavanaugh, who's a Republican out of Fountain Hills, wanted to put a proposition on next year's general election ballot to rescind the Medical Marijuana Act, but he couldn't get enough support in the legislature to do that, so it's not going to happen. But I thought it interesting that a mere 4 years after the voters approved the Medical Marijuana Act, the legislature is thinking about advancing an initiative that would rescind the Medical Marijuana Act, but he can't get enough support. And the reason he can't is interesting. It's not because apparently the majority of the members of the legislature are in favor of medical marijuana. In fact, it's probably the opposite. The majority are probably opposed, but there's concern that if this were a ballot measure, it would bring out in large number non-Republicans to vote on it, and that's apparently why it's not going to be on the ballot.
Let's see if we can squeeze a quick call in. David has a question for Don Luce. Go ahead, David.
Hi, I was just reading on the news about a Supreme Court ruling, I think this week or last week, that said that police can obtain your DNA even just for any reason, and I was just wanted to compare that to what you were saying about the blood earlier with the DUI.
David, that's an excellent question. The DNA, in all likelihood, does require a search warrant. The Supreme Court has made it quite clear that any invasion like that of bodily integrity implicates an individual's expectations of privacy. So you have constitutional limitations on what can be done by law enforcement absent a search warrant. And a search warrant has to be based on probable cause. So if that procedure is being employed, then I would suspect that probable cause has been determined. A judge has signed off on a search warrant, and it's only pursuant to that search warrant that blood or DNA or urine or other bodily fluids are being taken. Good question, David.
So there's no implied consent?
No.
That if you get a driver's license, they can also take your DNA at this
point? None whatsoever.
Our other story we wanted to talk about, Bisbee, the Southern Arizona community, will become the first in the state to offer civil unions for same-sex couples.
Yeah, this is an interesting action by a government entity other than the state, and I say that because at the state level, we have a series of statutes governing relationships between men and women. We have an entire title devoted to marriage and children. And here you have a tiny community basically on the Mexico border adopting ordinances that don't go directly to marriage, but go to a lot of the same issues that you find in the marriage statutes. Now, because a civil union is not a marriage, the Attorney General has said that the state is not going to challenge it. And the theory there was, if it did overlap on the marriage statutes, that would be improper. But in this case, if anything, I think you could say it supplements the marriage statutes with some newly created definition of a relationship between same-sex couples. Bisbee says it's based on contract, and the state, it looks like, is not going to make it an issue.
Don Luce from Luce Brown & Associates. There is a link to Don Luce & Associates on the BuckmasterShow.com website if you would like more information. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know, both available at Amazon and probably local bookstores as well.
Yes, I'm proud to say that the bookstores do carry Arizona Laws 101.
Good. Don, have a great week.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
All right. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a bottle of cool Culligan water. It just simply tastes better. John C. Scott, 3 to 5 this afternoon, and then Wake Up Tucson tomorrow on KVOI with the Wake Up Tucson show, Chris and Joe. We'll have our Friday Focus interview with Richard Miranda tomorrow at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.